Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Now, you've been called to liberty. You have all kinds of freedom. You don't want anybody to put their trip on you. You don't want to allow anybody to put their trip on you. But you don't use that liberty as an occasion for the flesh. You don't say, I have great liberty, therefore I can go out and get drunk, I can carouse, because I have liberty in Jesus. You have been set free from those very things. Where you no longer, after you've been set free, where you can now live for Christ and discover life as God intended it.
We all have liberty in Jesus, meaning we do not have to try and live perfectly and keep a list of do's and don'ts. We have unlimited forgiveness and grace in Christ. When it comes to following Jesus, there is only one rule we have to keep: walking in love. With more on the liberty we have in Jesus, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with more from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15.
We eagerly wait. How is it that we're supposed to live? How did he talk about practically living for him? Through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. It's not by faith in law. It's not by circumcision. It's not by any act that you do, but it's by faith alone. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but working through love. Love is what matters. And love is a sign. Love is the sign of maturity. How do I know that you are a mature Christian? I know that? I heard someone told me one time, I'm a mature Christian because I have the gift of tongues. I'm glad you have the gift of tongues, but you realize someone could be saved one moment and get the gift of tongues the next moment. Gifts are no sign of maturity. Why? Because they're gifts. If they were merit, he'd call them the merits of the Holy Spirit. You go out and work, you get to a place of maturity, and then you get the gifts. They're gifts, so you can receive them at any time. You say, well, Much as I know of the Word of God, I can quote scriptures. Just ask me where they're at. I'll give you the verses. I'll give you the addresses. Just tell me. But the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And there's a good chance that if you really know the Word of God, that you will get puffed up and prideful about it and not be a mature believer. And if you don't believe that, let's go to a graduation of a seminary sometime and see all of these guys that have gained a lot of knowledge, many of them who began going to seminary, loving God, walking with Him, many of them walking out of it, never to go into any kind of ministry because their faith has been destroyed, not by knowledge, but by puffing up, the puffing up that knowledge brings. It is only by love. And of course, love is the fruit. We learn that later on in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And without love, we are nothing. Without love, we accomplish nothing. Without love, everything that we do and give is nothing. So love rather than law. I fulfill all of the law by love. I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm set free from those. That's what Paul said in chapter 3. I'm done with those. We've come to Christ. We no longer need the law. But if I love you, I'm not going to murder you. So I have kept the law by love, so that we love one another, and by doing so, we keep the entire law. He said, you ran well. He's thinking back to those early days. He's thinking back to them. Faith and grace and salvation by trusting in Christ and the cross. You ran well, but who hindered you from obeying the truth? Paul knows there's a who behind it. You don't believe what cults believe without a who. Somebody told you, because you don't get it by reading the Bible. If you can't get what you believe by simply reading the Bible, if you have to read another book, you have to read another, if there's got to be some other kind of inspiration besides the Word of God, then we know it's not true. So he says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. God wasn't the one who persuaded you into this offshoot, into this whatever else it is. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You say, well, listen, I think that what they say is good. I think they're very centered on the family. Someone told me this about Mormonism here recently. They've got this huge campaign, right? I'm cool, I'm hip, I have a tattoo, I'm on a skateboard, I'm a Mormon, right? Someone told me here recently, which I've no doubt that there's a lot of diversity within those who are Mormons. Somebody told me recently, they really seem to love the family. Well, I have no doubt that there's that sense. Sometimes a little bit too much in certain parts of Utah, if you understand what I'm saying. We don't want to be naive about the truth of what's really taking place. If you have anybody who's living in, I don't know, Cedar City or Provo or any of these rural places in Utah. So you say, well, a lot of what they say is good. A lot of what they say is right. But I like this. Levi Lusco, Levi used this analogy about purity. He said, God's calling us to purity. You can't have a little impurity. You can't say, I'm going to walk pure before the Lord, but I'm going to have this part that's not pure. How much impurity are you willing to take? When the waiter brings you your food and says, that's mostly good, it's pure, I think most of it's all right. Will you confidently eat that? Well, the same is true with your doctrine. The same is true with who you listen to. The same is true with what you receive. How much impurity are you willing to take? You say, well, these guys, they do teach that baptism is salvation, but most of what they give is good. But how much impurity do you like in your food? How many hairs does it take before you push the plate away? Happened to me. I was eating at one of my favorite restaurants, my favorite plate. In fact, it may be my favorite plate in the world now. And I'm getting a bite of food, bringing it up to my mouth, and ding, ding, something strange. And I'd look at my wife and I go, look, a hair. And I pick it up and some of the food's dangling from the hair. And my wife says, it's clean, I'm sure. It's only one. I pushed the whole plate away, right? Because I don't like one hair in my food. Compared to the mass, the bulk of the food, compared to the weight of the food, that hair is so light. It is so small. But I push the food away. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Paul is saying, push the plate away. Don't receive anything from someone that you know is teaching heresy or legalism. Don't open yourself up to them. What they say may be right, but why not learn what's right from another way? Is there a lack of good, solid teachers? Is there no good, godly men in Tucson that we can learn from? That we've got to go to someone who is a heretic to learn partially what's true, to reject the rest? Are there no Charles Swindolls and John MacArthurs and Chuck Smiths and Greg Laurie's and Don McClure's and Mike McIntosh's? And I could keep naming them of men that you can go to on the internet and take in and take in and take in good food that you have to receive from someone who is leaven in their food, that has a hair in the plate that they're giving you. You say, but the rest of it's good. Well, maybe. And maybe it's not clean hair. And maybe it's not only one. Why not go to that which is true that can be counted on? Now, I'm not saying that there's anybody that you can go to that you don't search the scriptures to see if these things are true. I'm not saying that you listen to me without checking out what I'm saying. You check it out for yourself. You learn it yourself. You test the word of God against what I'm saying always. But if you know that I'm bringing you a heresy, then stop going to this church. Go where you can trust what is taught, especially in the area of salvation. If anybody teaches anything different, another gospel that is not even a gospel. Verse 10, I have confidence in you. I love that. Paul's saying, I know you guys, you ran well. I have confidence in you, in the Lord. It says, my confidence is in you, in the Lord, that you're going to come around, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. He says, I know you got this from somebody because you couldn't have got it from God. And I know that this person is going to receive their judgment. False teachers will be judged. I would not want to be in the shoes of a lot of these guys that go around bringing false teachings or teach just to receive money. They're caught up in money. That's what they're about. I wouldn't want to be any of these guys. They'll receive their judgment. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? No doubt they had told them, Paul was circumcised, Paul's Jewish, Paul's going to heaven, Paul teaches circumcision, and Paul says, then why am I persecuted by him if I teach circumcision? Why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. No longer are they offended by the cross. It ceased if I teach these things. Verse 12, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. That's not very nice. Some could say, Paul's not really walking in love. The nicest thing that you could say that he's saying there is that he wishes that they would castrate themselves. There's another way it could be read. I'm not going to go into detail. It's not nice. But they're wolves. They're polluting. They're destroying the faith. They're causing people to be estranged from Christ, falling from grace, where the cross is no longer in effect for them. And so Paul says, I wish they would go all the way. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Now, you've been called to liberty. You have all kinds of freedom. You don't want anybody to put their trip on you. You don't want to allow anybody to put their trip on you. But you don't use that liberty as an occasion for the flesh. You don't say, I have great liberty, therefore I can go out and get drunk. I can carouse because I have liberty in Jesus. You have been set free from those very things. Where you no longer, after you've been set free, where you can now live for Christ and discover life as God intended it for each of you. And so we don't let that liberty become an occasion for the flesh. What is the flesh? It's the natural desires that I have. It's my natural desires. The things of the flesh that I don't want to live by. He goes on to say, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's a great verse. Romans 8 has a similar verse. All the law is fulfilled that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I fulfill the entire law by that. I don't have to worry about a list of do's and don'ts. I just have to walk in love. What does love tell me to do? How does love tell me to respond? I don't have to argue. I've spent plenty of time in my life arguing. I choose not to now. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mind telling you why I believe what I believe. I don't mind you telling me why you believe what you believe. But I no longer feel compelled to persuade you. I feel compelled just to let it go. I don't know, maybe a year ago or so, after a service here, a gal came up and she asked me a question about tongues. And she said, you believe in tongues, the gift of tongues. And I said, yeah, I do believe in the gift of tongues. In fact, I have the gift of tongues. And she said, then why don't you allow them in church? Now, I knew better than to take the bait and to start to argue. But I thought, I'm pretty persuasive. I'll convince her that speaking in tongues should not be done when we are gathered together as we are now. Paul said, I would rather speak 5 words of my understanding than 10,000 words when we're gathered together, because no one can understand them and you edify yourself. So I started reading 1 Corinthians 14 to her. And I, very eloquently I might add, explained it along the way, pausing in all the right places to show her what the text was saying. And then I got to the area where it says, therefore, if there's no interpreter, then you keep silent in the church. And I had her read that. Okay, now you read that very, very powerful little move I had. You read that now. And she read, and keep silent in the church. And then I looked at her and paused, just a poignant pause, just the right pause. And she said, and that's why we should speak in tongues in church. What? After all of that. And I knew better. I knew better before I started, and I wrapped it up, and I knew better when I could have been eating my hamburger already from Whataburger. I could have been enjoying it, and I knew better than to get into it. Walking in love is the most powerful thing that we can do. I should have listened to her and said, oh, okay. Well, Lord bless you. You love God, I love God. Let's just go serve Him. let's just love one another. He goes on to say then in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love that he doesn't say, don't walk in the flesh. How many messages have I heard like that? Don't walk in the flesh. Don't do the things of the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Stop walking in the flesh. Don't do the things of the flesh. I love that Paul doesn't do that, because the more we try not to do those things, the more we concentrate on those things, and the more we want them. If you don't believe that, just try to go on a diet where you're restricted from certain things, and the very things you're restricted for is the things that you want. Remember the low-carb diets? As soon as you went on it, you wanted chips. As soon as you went on it. You might be a sweet, you might like ice cream, but all of a sudden you wanted chips. And within a week of you starting that diet, probably within 2 days, you went on a carb binge and you went through all of your cupboards and you ate every single carb you could get your hand on. Looked like an explosion of carb bags all around, because all of a sudden you said, I can't have carbs. I can have anything but carbs. I'll never forget, a friend of mine called me up and I'm on this new diet. I'm losing some weight. I've already lost whatever, 10 pounds, 15 pounds. And I've only been on it for a little while. And I can eat as much cheese, meat as I want. I can go to McDonald's, just order 10 cheeseburgers and not have the bread and just eat that. And I remember thinking, that's not healthy. they're just not healthy. But as soon as you say, I don't want that, that's what you want. As soon as I tell you, stop walking in the flesh, bunch of bad Christians, flesh-walking Christians. Paul says, so then walk in the Spirit. That's his persuasion. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't tell you not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says walk in the Spirit. So I ask you, are you walking in the Spirit? Now, I'm not asking you if you're filled with the Spirit now or walking in the Spirit now. It's easy for us to do it now. We had a time of worship. We proclaimed and were led in proclamation. I love worship and the proclamation that we get to say to God. Then we went to the Lord's table and we remembered the gift that was given. We're reminded that we're free and forgiven from our sins. Then we go to His Word. We feed upon His Word. It's easy now to be in the Spirit. When you leave this place and get in your car, how much does it take for you to go out of the Spirit? Maybe just one phrase from your child will throw, here comes the flesh. Right? How about you're driving along? What a glorious day at church. What beautiful worship. What a glorious. What was Sunday school about, honey? And somebody pulls out in front of you. Beep, 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 beep. Hey, you idiot, what's wrong with you? Where were we? What a glorious day. Walk in the Spirit, drive in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's been a great reminder for me, knowing where I'm going in Galatians. Ever since we started Galatians, I've been waiting for this chapter, specifically our study next week. And as we get into the second half of this chapter, in case you guys were wondering, is he going all the way through 5? It's 8:25 already. Is he going to keep going? No, almost done. But I found myself just mindful again of walking in the Spirit. And it's been good for me. It's been a good reminder. You know, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Am I walking in the Spirit, you know, am I reacting by the things of the flesh? May you walk in the Spirit. And I want to go back to verse 1. I want to read that to you as the last verse that we read together today, and we'll close. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'll ask you the same question that I asked you in the beginning of the study. Can anybody shake you or move you from faith in Christ? Can anyone bring you to a place of legalism? Can they persuade you? Can through their persuasive arguments, can they persuade you where you no longer stand fast? And I hope that's not the case. I hope that you say now, I will stand fast in the truth of the faith of believing in Jesus by faith and not let anyone entangle you again in any kind of a yoke. Stand with me, would you? Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful to be able to gather together and look at your word and so filled by your spirit, love for one another. We really want to do that. Lord, we want to overcome the things of the flesh, and we want to do it by walking in love towards one another. We want to do it by walking in the Spirit. So we pray that you would continue to allow us to make a stand for you, to stand fast in the truth, and to let no one shake that, to let no one come in and add to it. If we feel empty, if we feel like what we have in you is not sufficient, it's more of you that we need, not less, but more of you. Not more of ourselves, not hallelujah me, but hallelujah you. We want to serve you. We want to follow you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed. For just a couple of minutes, I'd like to give you an opportunity, if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your life, to give your life to him. Let me say this to you, kind of quickly. That is that you were created to love God. And unless you love him, you will never find fulfillment in life. If you wonder what Christianity is all about, it's about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because your sin has separated you from God and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, you need the work of Christ upon the cross and his forgiveness. And if you to say to him today, Lord, I believe in you, forgive me of my sins, then he will start a relationship with you. And you were created to have an intense, personal love relationship with God. That's how you were created. And you will never find fulfillment or satisfaction in this life until you love him that way. And so if you've never given your life to him, but you want to tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to make my way around the room. And just respond. God bless you guys. Over to my right. That's great. Jesus. Anybody else? Just lift your hand up now. It's not raising your hand that saves you. God bless you. Sir, off to the left. That's great. It's not raising your hand that saves you. It's not praying a prayer that saves you. It's because you believe that you raise your hand. You say, yes, I believe that I need to have my sins forgiven by the work on the cross. I believe Jesus loves me. I believe he wants to work in my life. And so you raise your hand. So lift it up now. Lift it up high. Again, I want to acknowledge your hand, and then we're going to pray together. Anyone else? God bless you. Man, that's great. And all of you guys there, I see all four of your hands. That's great. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, We'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.